Hello, everybody. We're back. Finally, it has been forever. Welcome to Boys and Brunch. This is where we expose everything going down on the timeline. And speaking of the timeline, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can jump straight to the topic that you want to hear if you just click it down below. It'll be split up after we're done recording here. We've got some great topics today. We're going to be talking about kink at Pride. Then we're going to jump into a little bit of a conversation about Madea making a comeback. Then we're going to talk about running into your date at the club. Like, what do you do when that kind of thing happens? And then we are going to end talking about some of the new music that came out. So I'm Jared D. King. I'm joined by Marcus Haynes. And we also have a special guest host with us. He is the producer of... like black gay reality shows and a lot of his own scripted series and movies. This is Lester Matthews, also known as Nunu. What's going on, man?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
It is so good to have you on. I think the last time that we worked together was on the Circle reunion.
New York.
Circle New York reunion, mm-hmm. Season 4, correct?
Season 4.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. So what's going on? Why don't you give the people a little bit of a brief of what you do and what's new with you?
Okay. I am a writer, film director, producer. I started out on YouTube in 2008. And I think over the time, I just learned just a passion for the arts, and I started just writing. So now I'm a film director. I've been producing short films and scripted material for the last couple of years, and I'm excited about the journey.
Awesome, awesome. So I know that you have a couple things on the horizon. Of course, you know, we've got that reunion show coming up. How crazy was that, by the way? Did you expect it to go as crazy as it did?
Yes. We had a crazy season 4 for the Circle New York. But it went crazy, but I was prepared because we did our first reunion for season 3, and that was in person. So I think that when everyone is on Zoom, I think that it'll be less expensive, so we don't have to hire bodyguards. So I think we did a good job.
Okay, good. So we're going to get into what's new with you later on in the show. But real quick, what are you drinking?
I am drinking pina colada. It's just 7-Up and
okay,
tequila.
Sounds good. Sounds good to me. So let's move into Marcus. What's going on, man? It's been
I know
a
it's
while.
Early, but yeah.
That's a great question. What has been going on? Time is a construct. Everything is blurring together. Summer school ends this week. So holla for that. I'm sitting here, you know, just trying to now figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my summer. And it seems like everything and everybody and their mama decides that they want to do something because outside is open now. So that's the thing. Really just kind of trying to figure out how best to use this little time I got off during the summer. That's kind of where I am now.
Okay. And what are you drinking today?
So I actually am almost out of alcohol in my house. Oh. So I know, surprising.
Rough time, huh?
I gotta go re-up. So I have the last of some Paul Masson peach and some peach juice that I mixed with it. So it's not much, but it's literally all I got.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So for me, my little update, I guess the past couple of weeks, I have just been traveling, although it's been really more like road trips. I was in Atlantic City for Memorial Day weekend, and this past weekend was a friend's 50th birthday. Hello, shout out to Percy, love you. And so we celebrated in Baltimore, and that was my first run-in with the cicadas. Like where I am right now, there aren't any cicadas, thank God, but there were plenty out in Baltimore. And I am drinking today. I've got my sparkling rosé. So it's good to see that we are all back in the alcoholic swing of things. Because I know we've just been like off of the same page the past couple of times. So yes. We're back. I do want to say hello to Connected, Mama Shay, Focused. I see you guys in the chat. Anybody else joining us, please be sure to give us a like and please be sure to comment, and we'll shout you out and we'll bring you into the conversation. So now let's jump into this first topic, which is about kink at Pride. This has been start sipping. This has been one of those conversations that kind of blew up in the past couple of weeks. And I'm curious what your guys' thoughts on it are. Like, should kink be a part of our Pride celebrations? Or should kink, or should Pride be more of a family-friendly kind of thing? I actually want to start with Nunu and see what you think about this.
I think that people in general are just putting so many definitions on Pride. And I think that we have to understand that there is a whole umbrella of the LGBT community. We all have different opinions. We all have different tastes. And we all have different preferences. And if there are people out there who is into kinks, enjoy your kinks. I think that we should respect other people's opinions and spaces. You don't have to participate. Even though that we think very logical, or we think very logical in so many different ways, and there are other people who probably don't even think how we think, and we should want them to respect our opinions, and then we should do the same.
Gotcha. So you said if people are into kinks, then let them do them. So
yes.
Next the question, are you not into kinks?
No. Is that like considered like SOS?
SOS probably what some people would say, but no, like S&M or
I say SOS. That's what I meant.
SOS.
Why are you correct me? Yeah, S&M. Listen. They don't do it in public. They probably have a model or two before the entrance, and they let people go in and do their thing and stuff like that. At least they're not having to open it in the air where there's kids and stuff like that. Who complaining when there's go-go dancers and people shaking their ass on the pole? We ain't complaining about that.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's an interesting conversation. Before I weigh in, I want to get Marcus's take on this.
Well, speaking as someone who has quite a few kinks myself, I feel personally attacked by this. But I think my main thing is, I don't really understand why this is such a thing, because I don't see it any different from, wait, am I frozen?
No, you're good.
Okay.
Unless you're frozen, but you're still good. I can see you.
Okay. I'm frozen on my screen, but it's fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I don't see why this is really any different from like Mardi Gras. There are entire, if you go to Bourbon, you know what you're going to see. But if you want something for your kids and take them to their little parades they have during the day, I don't know why this has become this whole big deal. Where it's like, oh my God, no, you can't do that. Children are present. I hate to say it, but forget your kids.
F them kids.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hear you. I had to do a little bit of research this morning just to, get a feel for what people were saying about it. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of good points that people have made in the defense of having kink at Pride. And, it's just Pride started out as a protest, and it was really just pushing against the norms. I mean, there are a lot of people, there are a lot of times where we as the LGBTQ community were told that we couldn't be who we were. And I think there's a place for it. I mean, I think, also the reality is nobody is, nobody's going over the top at Pride. I mean, like you'll see a mask or something, or you'll see like guys in leather. You might see pasties or like assless chaps or something like that. but nobody's actually like doing the act, you know, like when you go to these pride events. So you might see some, you might see some things, but it's not going to be, it's not going to be like a, like an X-rated action, I should say. Go ahead, Marcus.
I also have to say, I think we got to be realistic and stop pretending like half of these children ain't out here seeing this stuff anyway. Like, folks like to say, oh my God, we need to protect the kids. They don't need to see this type of stuff. Baby, if you looked at your child's YouTube history, your damn head would spin around on the shoulders.
Right, right. But, so I'm going to ask you guys, like, what has been the kinkiest thing that you've seen at Pride?
That I wasn't involved with?
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Why don't you give us both sides of that?
I've been to plenty of prides in my days. Atlanta, Chicago, LA, Long Beach, New York, Atlanta, Miami, Texas, Louisiana. Domestically, I've been through them. I've been through them all. Mm-hmm. And ran through them all. Oh. And I never experienced kink. I think that maybe that is more for the Caucasian community, our Caucasian brothers. So I had just experienced Black pride. So I think that the overall pride that we celebrate as a overall community, I see that more often, and I think that's more of a fetish of our older Caucasian white men.
Huh. Okay. I'm trying to think, because for me, and I haven't been to a bunch of different Black prides, but the ones that I've been to have been more like there are pockets of events, so it's not like a parade,
right?
You know, so it's a little bit different.
It's like different parts and sections.
Yeah. But I do think that doesn't mean that we're not capable of showing, of displaying that. I just don't
right. Even though if that was out in the open, and it has been out in the open, like at New York Pride, they have different floats and different organizations, different groups, and Kinks, I think, was one of those organizations who was marching, and they was marching representing those Kinks and just doing their thing. So I think that at least there are included and just appreciate it. I guess if they are part of the parade.
Okay. All right. Marcus, what you got to say?
Maybe we need to give some definitions, because
I'm thinking about just guys in leather marching. So what is your definition of it, Gerard?
Well, it's like, yeah, it's that. It's, you know, the having a jock strap on, walking around in a jock strap or something, or having like the puppy mask or something, or dressed up like a dominatrix, or, you know, like having pasties. Maybe you'll see like dildos out on the tables or something like that kind of thing. That's what I'm thinking when I think kink.
Okay. Well, whips and chains and
handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all ain't never seen no Black folk doing that?
I did.
I can't say I've never seen any black folk doing it.
I just saw them doing that nasty stuff over there.
Wow.
And they paying $20 to get in, and they ain't me. So I'm good.
I will see Black guys like at some like clubs sometimes with like a harness on or something. So it's not like we don't do it. It's just at Pride. At Black Pride, I guess maybe that's
distinction. What if someone leading someone through the Black, Black Pride on their knees, you know, the little leash? That's over the top.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't even know if that's over the top, though. I mean, that's like...
It's over the top, but we can't do nothing about it but look. It's like going in the subway in New York and you see people going crazy. You just look. Okay, do your thing.
Marcus, before I get into these comments, because they are, it's for quite interesting, the conversation we're having in the chat. Did you have anything else to add real quick?
I think maybe we should go to the comments first, because I feel like some of them are kind of in line with what I'm thinking. I was like, that's pretty vanilla.
So the stuff that I'm talking about, let me see. Connected saying, Jared, those things are PG-13 at best. That is not kink. And Mama Shay is asking, how is a jockstrap kink? I mean, it's like, some people have a fetish. I mean, I feel like if you're walking around in a jockstrap only, that can be considered like, okay, so if we're having a conversation about eliminating kink at Pride, nobody is going to then come with a jockstrap on. You know what I'm saying? So that's how it's kink, because it's included in that umbrella. It might not be like a kinky, it might not be considered like a traditionally kink thing, but that's what I think. I don't know. Y'all might disagree, but I'm just saying, you know, if we make rules to say we're getting rid of kink and then you come in with a jockstrap, I would think that you would not be allowed at that Pride.
Right.
You know, but that's also kind of part of the problem, though, is that nobody can really define this, at least the people who are, you know, saying a lot of these things. Because if you're going to ban jockstraps, ain't nobody coming. Because you know how many folk walk around in jockstraps. Like, you ain't got no pride.
Everybody's yelling at me right now. Okay, fine. Whatever. It's not kink, but you get what I'm saying.
No, but I think
Nunu. Would you say is that kink?
Is that kink? I don't know.
That's a club outfit to some people.
That's a club outfit. But I feel like kink and fetish are both very closely, and I feel like some people can have like a jockstrap fetish. And I feel like that's possibly. Like a, I don't know. Okay, fine. Y'all possibly. Disagree with me, whatever.
Let people do their thing, okay?
I mean, I guess to go back to the actual thing, like, I guess for me, I see the Pride as like as all of the events like interchanged, and you know I've been to some clubs, I've been to some, you know, some meetups and things of that sort, and some things have gone down. And so when I hear people say, you know, oh, you know, these type of things don't belong at Pride, I also think you have to ask the question of, well, what all do you consider Pride? Because I had never been to no parade, but I had been to events for plenty of prides. Mm-hmm. Like, are we just saying like, oh, these things don't belong at a parade? And if that's the case, then okay. I mean, I feel like if you really try and do some kink shit, like you're not gonna be in a parade anyway. So okay, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's honestly, it feels like a rule that is just being made for the sake of rules, because it's like you're trying to ban some things that were hardly happening or weren't really bothering anybody. And to me, that reads is like, you just want to try to have control over folk. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, listen. I hear you. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like,
hey, doggy.
You look at the reality of the situation and nobody's really doing anything like crazy. You know what I'm saying? Except connected. Let me see. What was his thing here? He said, I've seen full-blown sex at Pride. Full-blown. So, I think
that... Well, you went to Latino Oasis? Where the hell you been?
Sizzle.
I mean, I feel like that's probably a rarity. I've never seen
that. You went
to
a circuit party. That's not a Pride event. or you responded to somebody on Jack to get to that sex party.
And that's another thing, because like I said, like, what do we consider these Pride events? Because the clubs and the bar meetups and stuff, they be under the banner of Pride.
Mm-hmm. But they don't do the work. So I think that need to be, I think we all know the definition of Pride and what the meaning of it, the real meaning of it is to educate and to inform and to uplift. And also to learn our history, and also how to move forward, and how to teach our allies and the heterosexual community how to accept us more.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you completely there.
But for us, that's how we're treating Pride to the world. But within the umbrella, what Pride means to us is what the fuck we want it to be.
Okay.
Pride to the commercial world is accept us.
Okay. Well,
Pride to us is let's do us.
Listen.
Okay. Okay.
But Jared, you want to?
Okay. I mean, I would argue that it's let's do us.
No, not in like program. I'm here to fuck, but but that's an option for everyone. People, I think that maybe for our black gay community, for men in particular, I think that for me, growing up and going to Pride was about seeing everyone who looked like me, who act like me, and what I didn't see at home. That's what it was meant for me, going out in a different city and seeing all these people who are gay like me, and people who experience like me, who fuck like me, who suck like me, who do all that like me. And it felt so empowering to be around people rather than being in a barbershop growing up and hearing so many negative things about ourselves.
Gotcha. Okay. So I did have another question actually on this topic. What do you think about like cops at Pride?
Only they gay. Go.
And even then, I don't want them in their uniform.
Right.
Okay, unless it's a kink thing.
There you go. Unless it's a kink thing.
Right. Some of them be too aggressive and don't be in that place. Like, bitch, we paying you to be here. Just protect us. You here to protect us. Not tell us, right. You know, just being rude, but yeah.
Well, the thing is, I don't have a problem them being there as a security measure, like two cops at the entrance or something, like not as a float or as a, you know, as a force marching in the parade. You know what I'm saying? I don't have a problem with gay cops coming to Pride and not being, you know, not on duty. You know what I'm saying? But my thing is, you know, this, we started out as a revolt against, I won't say brutality, but because I feel like it's a little bit different, but just the police, you know, messing with the community.
Right.
And
to add on to your point, I think that it was like that at one time with the Stonewall era and the whole police brutality against our community. And we all know the whole story about the history of Stonewall and how the riot came about and it was illegal to, you know, to be gay and to come together. Yeah. And I think that the big step that even New York Police Department made recently is apologizing. I think they publicly in the last year or two to say they want to officially apologize for all the discrimination and all the whole Stone riot situation. I think that's a bigger step moving forward. Even though that is political, but there should be even more training within police forces.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even, you know, I would personally question whether it is even a step forward. Or I mean, you know, I mean, I feel like police are not policing the gay community like they did. So in that sense, yes. But for them to say I'm sorry or whatever, it feels like, you know, it's just a PR move to me personally. You know, that's like them saying sorry for, you know, what they do with black people in general. And
so you don't trust the shit like, they say anyway, so we could.
Focus is correcting me. He said actually it was brutality. They were beating folks and arresting them. All right, so I stand corrected on that. But yeah, you know, it was just it's just really interesting because I had to come to the understanding of what Pride really was. You know, when I came out and I was going to Pride, like the biggest misconception that I had was that it really was just a party. It was just, you know, let's just go out and, you know, be gay and whatever. But
and it's kind of, I think in that sense, it's okay to go to celebrate. Cause like I said earlier, it's when you, Pride earlier for me was like a celebration. Like this, I'm gay and there's gay people around me, so I guess I'm not living a lie.
Right, but the thing is, it's like there has to be some kind of continued education or some acknowledgement. And you know, and maybe there is, because I will be honest, I've never been to a parade. I've always been to like the little festival that they have afterwards when they at Philly Pride. I've never been to an actual parade. So maybe there is some kind of a statement of where it came from at one point in the parade. And I don't know, y'all correct me if I'm wrong or if you have seen something like this. But I just feel that there is no education on where it came from at Pride. And I feel like that's important for people to get. To understand, you know, why we have this tradition in the first place. I feel like that would kind of cut down on this argument that kinks should not be at Pride or something because, you know, because of the kids, even though the kids aren't really going to see much of anything that they don't already see it, like Carnival or like you said, Mardi Gras. So, all right. So I think we are going to jump into our next topic. But before we do, I do want to ask you all. Oh, Marcus, did you have something to say?
No, I was going to say that I partially want us to have like a separate Pride type thing, because it just from hearing y'all talking, like I feel like we've had vastly different experiences with Pride. And I would love like to hear more about that. So, you know, maybe Pride episode, Pride discussion, something. I think that'd be cool. So
do you think gay circuit parties is something separate from Pride that you can, that they can use?
You asking me?
Yeah. Gay circuit like SZA Miami, who else they got? You know, Palm Springs and DR, Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm. I feel like all of these things, because like some that you said just a minute ago, like, you know, it's also a celebration. I feel like it's all part of that. Like, I'm going to keep going back to the Mardi Gras sort of parallel. You know, there's plenty of folks that's just, you know, showing titties or what have you doing Mardi Gras. But, you know, there's also people who talk about, you know, what it means, like what the actual sort of religious history of this is, blase, blase. I think that there's room for both. I think that there's room for both. And I think that we just have to stop trying to make it into just one thing, into just the education, trying to appeal to the straights, because whatever. And, you know, and it can also be more than just the parties.
And I do also think that this could also be Pride, even though it's political, is also a learning experience within ourselves. And I think that have to go to a Pride to try to better yourself as a person, stuff like that. You could also learn how to deal with each other better within our Black trans sisters and our non-binary people in our community. And we have to just use this input as our history, like Stonewall era. You know, we just have to learn that, even though we don't have to learn it, but we just have to learn how to respect each other more. Because if we don't respect each other, they're not going to respect us as a whole.
Yeah. I have a quick question. So what is the difference between like a circuit party and like a regular like club thing? Like what I don't get the difference. What's the distinction?
Well, a Pride event is considered, it can be considered a nonprofit organization that it
No, gets... I'm not talking about Pride. I'm not talking about Pride. I'm talking like, you know, you're talking about circuit parties. And then like, if I go out to the club one day or I go to like, you know, a rave or like an EDM thing, is that kind of what it is is it just like a bigger dance party?
I think that the club events is promoted a part of the Pride events, and they use that to promote it as a whole. But a circuit party is something that is done more of a private sector, and it's for profit, and it's for profit, and it's made for that purposes to do things outside of the Pride norm.
Okay.
All right. That makes sense.
Yep. All right. So I think we're going to jump into our next topic. But before we do, I'm going to talk about the Patreon for just a quick second. If you are watching us, please join us. You can start at $4 a month. You get access to our Splitting the Bill exclusive after show, access to our Discord where you get to chat with the Gorgeois community. I don't say Gorgeois enough on this channel anymore. I don't know what happened. But I need to talk y'all up because y'all are amazing and you're always in the chat. And we've got some other merchandise and stuff there as well. So go ahead and check that out. The link is in the description below. And real quick, I want to ask Nunu, what is going on with the Circle Atlanta? What can we expect on this new season that you've got coming up?
Just full of new characters, new personalities, new talents, just showcasing their arts. I think this season I'm doing things, I have done things differently. We had open auditions in Atlanta, and this was basically was kind of like a project within a project, or as like creating a group of people and see how they can become a circle.
Okay.
So it can't, the whole concept of this new season is showing how from the beginning, audition stages to the end, to see who will become a circle and organically.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't pressure anything. We didn't do any more like producer tricks or anything. Mm-hmm. We wanted them to organically see who gel with each other. And this can be a very like an example of how in human nature as our community overall, but more micro,
like a micro
intersection look on these characters.
If you have, is there a specific topic or a specific dramatic moment that you think kind of takes the bulk of the show?
There's so many different moments. We have first half of the season and second half of the season. Of course, the second half of the season was very explosive. At the beginning of the year, it was like a social media meltdown that the cast members was expressing online. We definitely support our cast members to publicly talk about their issues and their experience on the show. It was just outrageous, but we definitely want everyone to watch and to get their own perspective and to learn or and to either be entertained by these people. But the first half that we're going to experience is just full of so many different elements of it. For us, like, okay, so we have Cash De Niro. We have a cast member called Cash De Niro. He is adult entertainer.
I think we all know him very well.
Yeah, so what he brings to the show is just, we wanted to show a different side of him. I know everyone's seen the rear side, but we wanted to show a different dynamic of his life, his personality, and get like different inside look of these people. Because if we get to know these people, their interactions, how they feel, how they think, and how they navigate themselves through Atlanta, we get to understand how they deal with situations on the show, like how they will react in those situations. So we will understand when they do act on situations that can challenge them, we understand why.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Sounds like an interesting show. I know I'm gonna be watching.
And yes, we have also Melly B from The Circle New York.
Right.
Martell Starr, he is in a relationship. I just edit these people. I can't listen. The word when three people in a relationship, what's that called?
Like a polyamorous.
Yeah. I'll just film him. So he in a
polyamorous. It'll be interesting. We're gonna have to talk some more about that. Maybe in Splitting the Bill, we're gonna talk about that in the after show and maybe get deeper into the show. But yeah, it sounds really interesting. I'm definitely going to be watching. Marcus, I feel like you might tune in just to see what Cash De Niro is up to after that. We have this topic of Madea. And the last time that we heard about Madea, it was that, you know, she was having one final movie and that was it, and she was going to be retired as a character. Like, times have changed. Everybody was like, goodbye Madea, we love you, but that's enough. And now all of a sudden we got this this commercial by Tyler Perry. I don't want to play it on here because I don't want to get a copyright strike, but yeah, he basically has said, we have to laugh. We gotta laugh again, or whatever. And Tyler Perry is, you know, he's given the voice of Madea and everything. So basically Madea is going to come back and she's going to be on Netflix at some point. What is your guys' reaction to this? Marcus, how are you feeling about Madea making a comeback?
Them checks must start getting low. He was like, you know what? We're gonna reach into the bag of tricks and pull back out Old Faithful. I didn't really care that much when Madea left in the first place because I feel like I've had all the laughs I'm gonna have with Madea. So I was like, okay, whatever. And then she coming back, I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't think it's gonna be really cool.
Nuna, you have anything else to add?
I didn't care about the marketing strategy. I think that you don't have to say we need to laugh again when we are laughing now. Like, there's so many comedies out there we can laugh. Like, we need it, Madea. Well, but I love Madea. I've been watching it since the plays, since the VHS plays, the tapes, and all that back in the day. I've been there since the beginning. We all been there since the beginning, so we all know, just like we all know the game, we all know the sayings. There's nothing new to bring. She's been to jail, she's been to the court, she's been to the beach, she's been in the house. We got white people out in the situation. She's been there, and we knew that she wasn't leaving. So welcome back, Madea.
I just feel like, I don't know if this is the best move, to be quite honest, because I'm Twitter focused, you know, so I know what the people are going to say on Twitter about this.
Maybe it's a series. Maybe it's a scripted sitcom series.
Regardless of what it is.
I feel like that's a bad
something idea. Has to be new. We can't, no more movies. We need a 9-episode series.
Oh god,
if it's Netflix productions, maybe it's totally different from Tyler Perry productions. Maybe it'll bring a different element of what we're used to. We don't want to see Have and Have Nots productions. We want to see Madea in a 9-episode run on Netflix would be okay.
You think that will? I don't know. Like,
the
I
Full
feel
House
like,
could do it, but they're good.
Well.
Next is saying another reason it's back is Tyler Perry has a cross-platform deal with Viacom CBS, so that is why he has shows in various channels. Okay, well, thank you for that expertise. Mama Shay's saying, oh, no, that was the wrong one. What was it? Okay. I'm tired of men in dresses for the patronizing comedic aspect. So that's another thing that I wanted to address, because we had talked about this, Marcus, a while back with the disclosure on Netflix documentary. Uh-huh. We're talking about men dressing up as women and whether, you know, how that looks and what that does. I'm just trying to think, like, how is that different from a guy dressing in drag and performing on stage? And I personally feel like there is a little bit of a difference, but I'm just curious what you guys think about, you know, why is one thing acceptable versus something else? And, you know, is it just, you know, you have to be funny if you're going to do it, or if you're not?
I think it's more of a comfortability of, I hate to say it, the most comfortability of the stereotypical Black community, especially our cis Black women, who doesn't feel like it's masculine enough to wear a wig and do comedy at the same time. Martin Lawrence has been doing it for a minute. Eddie Murphy has been doing it for a minute. But it's all is drag. And I think that the only difference is just the definition and the person who's doing it.
Mm, okay. Marcus, how are you feeling about that?
Is
one harmful and the other one like not?
I feel like it's and I know this is probably going to read as like splitting hairs for some people, but I feel like it's this idea of so like mocking versus appreciation. Because if you've ever, you know, talked to someone who does drag, they'll say like, you know, this was inspired by my, you know, my grandma, my auntie, my mom, you know, this is like an homage to them kind of sort of thing. Like that's usually how they present it. And 9.5 times out of 10, those be gay folk that say that. Versus when it's BD straight man, you know, the Tim Bays, the Quays, whatever the main name is, Autumn Folk. It's usually just like, you can't be funny. You can't be entertaining unless you put on this dress, most of the time this bad wig, and play up on some stereotypes that you've seen people do. So it's that kind of thing. It's like the mocking versus the sort of like appreciation. And I think a lot of people, are starting to recognize that and recognize how when all you do it is for mocking, it can cause a problem.
So let me see what else so I wanted to ask you guys, what was your favorite Madea movie and the worst Madea movie in your opinion? Or what was the best one? What was the worst one in your opinion? I'll start. So while you guys are thinking. So I think my favorite one would be Madea's Witness Protection, where she had the white family come and stay with her. And yeah, so I thought that was funny. The worst one, in my opinion, was one of the Halloween one. I don't know which one it was, but I just remember it was just not fun. It was just not funny. I was just curious if you guys had any.
My worst would be the Witness Protection.
Really?
It was just like, okay, she helping these white people out on their white problems and stuff like that. Okay,
I'm all choked.
Girl, I guess Madea is selling to the white audience. She ain't selling to us. My favorite would be Madea Goes to Jail, because I like how she ran through that grocery store.
Is that the one where they had the girl that was like, okay, Byron? Or
yeah, that's Madea. That's Madea Goes to Jail?
I think that's that one.
Oh, Family Union, one of them.
Yeah. Maybe that one. I know she was in jail, but that's like every.
Of course. Movie, so
Marcus, do you have?
I think the one y'all talking about with the Byron thing, I think that's. What's the Big Happy Family? I think that's the name of it.
Oh, is that what that was?
Okay. I think. I could be wrong. But yeah. Anyway, the worst probably is either of the Halloween ones. The best is a play. Pick a play.
Any play.
Any play. Pick the plays. That's the best. But if I had to pick a movie, if I had to pick an actual movie, I guess Goes to Jail, I guess.
Okay. Worst one?
I said worst one, the Halloween ones.
Oh, Halloween, oh, okay. Yeah, that was horrible.
I did like some of the earlier movies, like the, Diary of Mad Black Woman, because she was in those. It wasn't a Madea movie, but she was in those. So that one I liked. I Can Do Bad All by Myself. I like that one.
I was gonna say, like, for me, like, my favorite thing that Tyler Perry has done is The Family That Prays.
I don't think Madea was in that, was she?
No, okay. She wasn't.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I think we can all agree. I don't know if we can agree, but I think, you know, that's probably what everybody has touted as like his best movie. But I wanted to ask you, since we're talking about some of his other movies, he has kind of teased this third installment of Why Did I Get Married? So Why Did I Get Married Again? I think was the title for the third movie that may or may not be coming. I don't know what's going on. It's just like a teaser or something. So are y'all excited for that? Or like, what are your thoughts on that? No, Marcus?
I'm tired of Perfect Patty. Like, I don't want to see Janet having nobody else get rant over. Like, I love Jill Scott, but I would rather not see her in this thing again. Like, it's the first two, I think, well, the first one was good. The second one was cool. Leave it at the second one, at least for me.
Okay. Lester, how do you feel?
I think I fell asleep on the first one, and I didn't even watch it. I was too busy creating my own movies, I guess.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Oop. Well, hey, that happens. But I thought the first one was good. I did not like the second one at all. From beginning to end. I was not a fan. But, you know, I mean, I bring all this.
Maybe with a brand new cast?
Then you might as well not even call it the same thing.
Yeah, but you'd have to have a whole new story. You'd have to have a whole new story, and maybe that would work.
You could do
because then you wouldn't have to focus on the same storylines because it's just a little
bring fresh faces, a younger actors, fresh actors, and just make it work.
Yeah. Well,
maybe what's the name of the movie again?
Why Did I Get Married?
Why Did I Get Married Miami? Why Did I Get Married New York? Why Did I Get Married Paris?
See, look, you're in reality show.
Turn this into Real Housewives.
But yeah, I mean, I just think it's interesting how there are some, he doesn't hit all the time. I feel like Tyler Perry is very like 50-50. Like you can flip a coin and you can see whether it's going to be good or whether it's going to be bad or, and
yeah,
I see
you'll know in the first 5 minutes if you watch it.
Mama Shay said, I'll definitely take a Lester movie over Tyler Perry.
Thank you.
So there you go, Lester.
It's on YouTube. Let me plug it. Keep It Love a Secret. It's hit 2 million views on YouTube. I'm so proud of this film. Keeping Love a Secret. Go search it on YouTube and you'll see it. Keeping Love a Secret.
Okay. All right. So go and check that out. And we are going to jump into our third topic. So there was a tweet that somebody had tweeted. So I'll just read it out here. If we messing around and we in the same club, have fun, but don't play with me. So that's how the tweet goes. And I'm just curious what you guys think about that. Like, if you were to run into this guy that you were messing with in the club, how would you react? Like, is it one of those things where you're like this guy is saying, like, you know, you go ahead and have your fun, but don't do too much. Like, are you on that? Do you kind of agree with that, Lester? Maybe we can start.
Yeah,
with you.
I agree. Don't fuck with me. Don't fuck with me. I didn't come here to see you. You didn't come here to see me. We not together for a reason. Don't play with me. You don't play with me. Don't try to. I don't know. No one has done it, but I understand if that situation happens and why the situation happened. And I think it also depends on that relationship and how it ended. My ex-boyfriend told me he leaving me because he found his soulmate. So if I see him in the club, I don't know.
If you don't know what?
I don't know.
Don't have that man incriminate himself.
We never. It was still no closure. This nigga called me on FaceTime, told me, well, this is 2 years ago, though. He told me, I found my soulmate. And I just want to let you know that I love you, and we had a great time together. But I'm looking for me, and I met him 6 months ago. What? We was fucking 6 months. We was fucking last week. What the fuck are you talking about? So, it's just the fact about respect. How would that person play me or anybody?
Okay, so first of all, hold on. I need to stop you there because I need to ask: is he still with his soulmate?
I hope so. I wish him well.
I was just curious if you knew that.
I wish him the best. I'm so glad I dodged that bullet. But at the same time, what is his definition of playing? So you could go in a club and see your ex. There's so many different ways you can play with somebody.
Okay,
you can look at them. You can stare at them.
Because he's not saying if you're with an ex. If you're messing around with this guy.
Oh, if you're currently together.
So, and you don't go with, like, if you're like messing around is very loose, right? It's like, if this is like, Like, what does this mean? Are you in the talking stage? Is this just like an, you know, an F buddy or something? Like, what exactly do you mean? But it's like that kind of a thing.
First of all, since you said it like that, what the fuck you worrying about somebody playing?
Wait, you cut out there for a second.
I think he said playing with you if you're not together.
Okay. Yeah, Nunu, we cannot hear you now. Your mic, I think, is off. But we'll go to Marcus and we'll get back to you. And if we can't hear you, maybe jump out and jump back in and we can hear you again or something. We'll figure it out. But Marcus, what's your opinion?
So because I've read it as like, you know, words mean things. And if you say that we just messing around, that means it ain't no Tyler, ain't no attachments, whatever, what have you. So for me, if we just messing around, I ain't really got no claim, so I don't care what you do. But at the same time, I know that there are some people who, like, as soon as y'all have an intimate conversation, you know, you are mine, you can't talk to nobody else. And I feel like that's the type of energy that they bring in. It's like, you know that we're doing this and doing that and talking about this and talking about that. So, you know, don't go out here running out. Like, you know, have your little fun, you know, have your fun with your little friends. Like, that, really that type of energy. Have fun with your little friends, but don't, you know, don't let it go too far. What too far is, who knows? But that's kind of how I read it.
Okay, so how far, how far is too far for you?
Well, if I was putting myself in this situation, which I wouldn't be, but have, like, you know, do your little dance, have your little fun, whatever, but it better end at your little dances, your little bump and grind, little stuff. It don't need to go no further than that. Like, I don't need to find you in the bathroom stall with this dude.
Gotcha. Okay. Gotcha. Nunu, you're back. I think I can hear you now. Did you have anything to add? Because I feel like we cut you off there. Did you, are you good?
I can't hear nothing.
You can't hear us? Okay. So yeah, maybe jump out and jump back in again. Here, let me take him out for a second. So me, I'm just like, if you're messing around with this person, if that's what it is, then I'm just like, you know, whatever. I don't have any connection to you. It's different if it's just like somebody I'm messing around with, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Versus somebody that I'm talking to and they want to play in my face. Like, mm-hmm. don't do that. Like, it's like, be respectful that you see me here. You know what I'm saying? So that's really where I'm coming from. Yeah. Okay, so Nunu, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, good. So yeah, I was just saying, you know, if it's somebody that I'm talking to, that I'm trying to date or trying to get to know, and I see you in the club or something like that, and you're doing all kinds of craziness or whatever, that's not going to work for me. But if you're more on the just like hookup side of things, then I don't really care. But yeah. So have you guys ever come into that situation where you've seen somebody that you were trying to get to know in a public space, maybe with somebody else?
No, I don't really care.
Okay, so was really, that a yes, but it hasn't meant anything?
I move on real quick. Like, I could be able to be in a situation where I could be like, okay, I guess it wasn't for me. Like I said, so many men out there that that's out there for you to choose from. I don't think that people should. Well, I guess since I'm in my 30s now, I guess I don't care about different people and how they treat. It's just it's real quick. I could ignore you real quick.
I hear you there. Yeah, I don't think I've ever had that situation happen. But I mean, I guess that also begs the question, like, what would you do in a situation? Because I feel like maybe me and Marcus have talked about this a little bit, so I won't I won't dwell on us so much, but Lester, like, what are your thoughts on dating multiple people at the same time?
Wow. Dating multiple people at the same time while you're single is okay. I think that it's a way for you to navigate what's out there. I think especially when you're living in large cities, there's so many different options. And I think that it's okay to date multiple people unless you're very like verbal and very like and if you're saying that you are dating. Now, if you're taking it to the next level and you're exclusively dating, that's totally different. I've been around so many couples in New York who has been having so many successful relationships of an open relationship, open marriage. I know that's probably totally different for dating multiple people, but how I am in my life, I think I would be okay with dating one person but having an open situation because it allows me to not worry about what my partner and my husband is doing all the time. But at the same time, we do have to have that mutual, that respect, that honest conversations about rules and expectations and how not to like avoid having feelings from these men and just busting a nut.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm like, I can date multiple people, but I'm curious, like, what is the correct way to date multiple people, or how do you let the person that you're dating know that that's what's going on?
By talking to them, just telling them. I think that as soon as you get that conversation out the way, you don't have to linger and cheat and do it and do stuff on the side. I think that when you go in situations, you should sit down and say everything. This is what I want. This is my expectations. I'm with this. I'm with that. You can do this. If you like, I think that conversations need to be within the first 2 weeks.
Okay. Interesting. You agree, Marcus? It looks like you agree. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. First of all, I've never been in that situation to date multiple people at the same time, for real. Like, so I've never really had to say anything, but I've never planned on saying anything. I don't know if that sounds horrible, but it's just like an awkward conversation to have. Like, hey, I like you, but I'm going to be dating other people. And it's just like, okay, so then if they had any attachment to you, then it kind of gives them an out. Or I don't know, it kind of makes it, kind of lessens it a little bit, I feel. And that's just, I don't know, it's a little bit scary for me, you know? If I really like somebody, to just say, hey, I'm going to be dating multiple people because you haven't locked it down yet. I mean, you know, not that I say that out loud, but you know what I'm saying. All right, so let's move into our final topic. So we've got some new music. I want to know if you guys have listened to anything. We've got a new... Okay, so let's start with the one that I think we're going to not talk about much, which is Migos with Cardi B. Because that's what... Okay, so we got this topic because I spoke to Brandon. Shout out to Brandon Harris-Williams. He's not with us because he's working today, by the way. But... He told us that there was a lot of new music releases, and one of them was Migos featuring Cardi B. I don't think we really listen to Migos, but I think Cardi B is kind of part of the listening thing. I don't know. Y'all know.
I thought they had a song together already featuring Nicki Minaj, right? They did a song together.
Who?
Yeah.
They did a song with Nicki Minaj.
Motorsport.
Yeah, Motorsport. So that was good. If they could do it again, yeah, I think both of them is a good collab together. I like both artists.
Okay, all right. I mean, I listened to the song and I stopped it like halfway through. No shade, but I'm just like, it's just not for me. But
it's the same. It's the same like right, mumbling music. are you like soul music? You like music? People, singers.
I like singing. I like melody. I like that type of thing. Okay. That kind of goes, yeah.
So, I don't know how many songs there are, but I can make a suggestion because the only one I listened to was Megan. So
okay, so we'll talk about Megan real quick. I did listen to Doja, Doja's new song "Need to Know," because I'm a Doja fan.
Yeah, I love Doja.
Okay. You like Doja? Did you listen to the new song?
No, but like when I get free time, when I smoke that blunt and roll up, I love to watch her music. I mean, watch the visuals. She got great visuals.
Yeah. I think this new, like, she's doing like alien stuff this time. She's an alien for her next album, apparently.
She's giving me very Lady Gaga, but less overdoing it.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I like both of her new songs. And then we've got Meg Thee Stallion. I just watched the video this morning. Thought shit.
I gotta get
Marcus,
caught up.
What are you thinking about that song? What's your take?
Song, it's Megan. It's Megan. It's gonna be what you would kind of expect from her, you know, a good club bop, which is what I needed. I really like the video though, because it feels like a direct response. It feels like a direct response like to all of the people who for some reason took this big, huge interest in WAP, all these politicians who started talking about like the destruction of America because this song came out, and she basically told them shut up. And I love that, and I love her for that. So yeah, I really enjoy that.
You're some idiot.
Yeah, I can agree with you there. I thought the video was pretty cool, actually, with that kind of a message.
The same people who think that who still think that Trump won the election.
Oh, the shade to the chat.
Oh boy.
Oh goodness. So anybody listening on a podcast, there was we had somebody in the chat saying that Trump won or something, and I feel like that was definitely I feel like Nunu definitely came with a shade there in a moment.
Listen, okay. That means we made it. We got trolls. We done made it, y'all.
Right, you know, that's
like, that's what they were saying. I haven't even read it.
Yeah, you didn't even see that.
That was divine intervention. The ancestors put that on your spirit because they knew.
Precisely. All right, so then we also have this versus coming up between Trina and Eve. So I'm already very biased because I'm from Philly, and Eve apparently is like, you know, is that girl.
Miami.
You
know? Miami. So,
you said you're Miami? Mm,
she's from Miami.
Is that Trina's area?
Mm-hmm. The 305. Okay.
Hey.
All right. So I'm guessing you're voting for Trina. What about you, Marcus?
I like Eve too.
Honestly, I don't really have a preference. I feel like I know more of Trina's music because I'm far closer to like Florida, Miami, like music culture, whatever have you, than with Eve. But yeah, I don't really care. I just want to hear the music.
I think it'll be good to hear music that we haven't seen in a long time, especially for them. And I think it's good for artists to receive their flowers and to get recognized for their hard work, especially when we got all these new female rappers out here in the world. Mm-hmm. I think that Eve gonna be coming with the hits from all the hits that she had in the past. There's a lot, and Trina as well. And I think it'll be cool to show different sides of their rapping styles.
Yeah,
merged together. So I think it's a great combination. Quick,
before we end the show, Connected said, "I'm so over the versus matchups," and I kind of agree. I'm like, at this point, I will say since the beginning, to be quite honest, to be completely honest, like, what do we get? What do we get out of the versus? Like,
I think the versus it came about with the quarantine. We're not able to go to concerts and stuff like that.
I get that, but I don't want to be on Instagram for, it's just like, And maybe, and it's probably just me, because, and I feel like a lot of people feel, I feel like maybe what you get from the Versus thing is a sense of community, and maybe you're able to talk about it, you know, kind of like when Scandal was coming on, or when, you know, How to Get Away with Murder was on, and everybody is able to tweet about these shows at the same time. You know, you just, it's just the thing to do because everybody's talking about it at the same time.
Well, I don't think that you.
I don't think that you have an
obligation to watch, but at the same time, if Doja Cat get on there, I'm sure you'll be tuning in. If Doja Cat get on there,
you know Doja what? Cat,
you be on there. You be the first one logged in.
You know, I feel a little this slice at my neck because you just came for it.
It was there. Okay.
If Doja Cat was on there, I mean, I might tune in for like.
I like how they changed the concept. I like how it has evolved, far as having them on a main stage and putting more money towards the production side, like when they did with Escape and SWV. I like how it's becoming bigger and more of a production rather than them sitting down. You know, like Patty, you know, but we all love Patty. But I think that, I don't know, I think it's all about flowers to me.
Oh, okay. I got you. And I agree that it's good to pay homage to certain artists. I don't think it needs to be quite that long. And the only thing that I notice is that when you're in the Instagram live feed, when you chat, nobody sees it. It's always the check marks that come up. You know what I'm saying? Or it's always those people that actually get the attention in the chat. So it's not like you're actually able to chat with anybody during the event, unless that's why everybody jumps over to Twitter to actually talk, because then you're able, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't get much out of it, but go ahead, Marcus.
I feel like that's a result of it being like, so like the chat is lighting up saying it. Like, I feel like that's a result of it being so commercialized. Like, because they got, you know, this Beats by Dre, or, you know, thank you, Doritos, because they gotta give...
We love you.
Exactly. Like, it's become this whole deal. And, you know, so they, in order to keep the money flowing in for these sponsors, they got to put up the really famous people, you know, to kind of get all their sort of attention or what have you.
It's all about money, too. It's a business at the end of the day.
Yeah. But it's, for me, like, as it is becoming more and more commercialized, it is becoming like, especially with, like, some of the artists. Like, I don't know why they decided, who was it, like, Swizz and Timbaland? I don't know why they decided to have them a rematch. Like, who cares? So like some of these decisions and stuff they're making is just like, whatever. But I think it still can be good to kind of give these people their flowers. To give these people their flowers while they're still here to smell them. Because, well, especially with these older artists like Patty and Gladys, or even SWV, you know, this really brought them their attention to their music to a younger generation.
Yeah. So, you know, and I will say, you know, to respond to Nunu's little, like, you know, that was very reality TV of you. Okay.
What happened?
I just need to say.
What happened?
I was not ready for you to come and buy that.
I forgot what I said.
You said something like, I know if Doja Cat was there, you'd be all of it. Like, no, bitch. No, but, you know, like, even when Brandy and Monica were on there, I could only watch for a little bit. Like, I tried to stick with it because I knew that was the one that a lot of us Black gay men would be watching. But
do you, like, I have, like, when it's on, like, are you just, like, just trying to sit there and watch that? Like, or are you doing other stuff?
All right, you could clean your house. You can cook. You can entertain company. It's just music in the background. It's just like a radio. Okay.
Well, if that's, I mean, but I, you know, typically when I watch a show, I sit down to watch a show. And so that's kind of how I approached this. Now, I didn't know it was supposed to be background music because, you know, that's not how they told me to watch it. So I'm sitting down, I'm watching this little screen on my phone, and I'm like, okay, y'all sitting down playing your song, and it takes you a whole hour to get down to get to the main thing.
Oh, and see, and that's another problem. You're trying to hold your phone for 3 hours. Of course, you don't want to sit there with it. You gotta stream that to the television, sweetie. No, you got to put that on the TV and go do some other stuff while that's happening.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'll try that next time. They'll
work out for you.
But we have run way over. But we are going to jump into splitting the bill. But I want to thank you guys for joining me today. We have Marcus Haynes here and our guest host, Lester Matthews. Thank you so much for joining us. Lester, why don't you let everybody know where to find you. I know you've got Instagram and YouTube and some other stuff. So let us know where you're at.
Yes, you can check out my work and my Instagram and everything at Yobor Nunu. It's YOBOINEWNUE. You can check out all my work, my docuseries, my reality shows, my scripted materials, my short films. You can check all my content there on my YouTube channel. I'm converting everything into a new platform coming soon. It's called iReviewTV. I'm excited. This is a new digital platform. All my content from my YouTube channel and also new original content is going to be on this platform. It's for us, by us. And I think it would be great for us to just have a place where we can go to be entertained. And I think I'm happy for that. So your boy Nunu on YouTube and Instagram, Facebook, and all that. You can check out all my work there. And the Circle Atlanta is coming June 21st. And I have a new scripted series that's coming in the future. It's called St. Peter. And I filmed it in New Orleans, and that's coming soon as well.
Awesome, awesome. I can't wait to see what new you've got coming up.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you can check out his links below in the description as well. So I'm Jared D. King. You can catch me at Jared D. King on social media and on YouTube as well. And Marcus, where are you at?
At Loose as a Deuce on pretty much everything.
Marla, come here.
Okay. There we go. And so let's raise our glasses, everyone. Nunu, did you even take a sip?
No, I'm already.
You didn't take any sips today. You were in recording mode. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. That's another episode of Boys and Brunch. be careful what you say because the boys will brunch. Take care, everyone.